Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Well, that was a story that happened in Toronto last week. It really caught my attention. In fact, the headline caught my attention specifically. Six schools threatened with gun violence. Six schools threatened with gun violence last week. How's that happen? When did schools become a target? I know we have answers. We statistically can point to this situation and that situation, and we can say this criminal act took place in a school and children died, and there are horrific stories. But why? How did that happen? Michael Zweigstra is a high school teacher in Manitoba. He's the author of What's Wrong with Our Schools and How We Can Fix Them. He's an op-ed writer, including one he wrote in December of 22 for the Fraser Institute. The headline was, More School Choices Would Help Ontario Families Flee Unsafe Schools. It's not just Ontario. It's happening across the country. And I'm curious whether it's mostly in urban areas or not. It's the easiest, probably the easiest deduction is, well, it happens where there are more people. And maybe that's the case. Michael Zweigstra joins us. Michael, you and I have talked for years about the issues that are confronted by our students, our teachers, the issues of education, what has to be accomplished, what our objectives are. But increasingly, paralleling those discussions have been the very sad stories, the criminal stories of violence in our schools. I'm not talking just about bullying, and I'm not trying to minimize the impact of bullying when I say just about bullying. Some of the bullying stories we've heard on this program have been absolutely heart-wrenching. But parallel to the education stories have been the violence stories. And this story, this headline about six schools in the Toronto area being threatened with gun violence, that to me crossed the barrier.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's important to note here that violence, when it gets to that level, you know, when you have serious physical violence and the threat of gun violence, that takes it to the point where it can't be ignored. And that's, of course, when it hits the news. But it's important to consider that that it doesn't just start there, that issues when you have concerns about violence and altercations and all that, typically that's the type of thing that that escalates. And so these stories, you know, are the most extreme, but there's a lot of things that happen prior to it reaching this point that doesn't get as much attention. But I agree with you that it is obviously very concerning, and something does need to be done.
I can't imagine what it would be like for the staff, the teachers, the students in those schools. The schools were named. What's it like for the parents whose children go to those schools? What's it like for the kids who go to those schools? It's horrific, and we're no longer at the point, Michael, where we say, or might be inclined to say, oh, it's just somebody showing off, just somebody being an idiot and turning our backs on the situation. There have been far too many violent incidents, far too many school shootings for us to turn our backs on a statement like this or a headline like this. Police don't turn their backs. Police are there in force over the ensuing days at those schools. And that's of some comfort, I'm sure, to the staff, the students, and the parents. But we cannot turn our backs on this. This is very serious business. What's it like to be, I mean, I'm sure you've talked to your colleagues, I don't know if it's happened in your school, but what's it like to be in a school environment when violence of that level is threatened?
Well, it's obviously very serious and very concerning. And, you know, teachers are human as well, and certainly do feel the impact of that. I mean, everyone wants to be able to go to work safely and return home safely. And when things escalate to that point, then obviously that becomes very stressful for everyone involved, both teachers and students. And, you know, one of the the cases that I wrote about in the op-ed for the Fraser Institute that was published in the Financial Post was simply summarizing some of the information available in mainstream media about serious cases of ongoing violence in some Toronto area schools, where you had, in one case, you had at one high school, you had 14 staff members that refused to go to work on a particular day, citing unsafe working conditions because of all the violent assaults, drug deals, and near daily fights that were taking place. And in fact, there was even in that school, there was even a jump list that was being circulated, which, of course, is a list of people targeted for attack. That obviously is is an extreme case, but that is an example of a situation where you have ongoing problems, not simply one day where one person, you know, calls in a threat and then police respond, but rather where you have many days, weeks, and months where you have incidents to the point where staff members don't want to go to work. And that obviously, you can't have any, there's no learning happening when everyone feels unsafe.
I mean, if
you don't feel safe,
I can't imagine.
No one can teach, no one can learn.
Who bears responsibility? Is it society? Is it permissive attitudes, poor school board management? Who bears responsibility for the fundamentals of this?
Well, the simple answer is that the responsibility is borne in a lot of different areas. I mean, obviously, you know, we can always point to society, but I would, if I had to zero it down, you know, the administration of schools, the administrators, and I'm talking about, like, you know, the school board superintendents, and then the principals and vice principals who run the school, they have control over the policies of the school. They are the ones who decide, you know, how do we deal with altercations and violence? Do we take a more assertive approach where we deal directly with problems and where we're willing to remove students who are violent for, you know, and do that for a period of time? Or are we taking a more permissive approach, where we want, you know, to reduce, you know, to not have student suspensions and to do everything we can to keep them in the building, even when it makes other people feel unsafe? So the philosophy that an administrator brings in has a huge impact on the culture of a school. So and I would also say school boards have a lot of responsibility. I mean, as a case in point, you have school boards such as the Toronto District School Board that removed their school officer resource program, that took that out, where you had police officers. You used to have police officers in school, not just when a crime had been committed, but rather in school on a regular basis, building relationships with students and helping just provide support. And you've got these woke school trustees that in places like Toronto that are saying, no, we've got to defund the police. We need to take the police out. And so now the only time police come in is when there's an actual crime that happens. And I just view that as very, very short-sighted.
I go back to the headline, 6 schools in Ontario threatened with gun violence. Gun violence. You know, fist fights. I mean, when I was in high school, a couple of guys would have a disagreement over something or other, and you'd meet behind the curling club, and there'd be a couple of lefts and rights thrown, and then when it was over, and everybody walked away. But we're talking about, the headline is 6 schools in Ontario threatened with gun violence. Let's take some calls, Michael, and please just jump in when we're talking to our callers, and if you hear them say something that you want to respond to, please do so. Jeff is in Edmonton.
Sure.
Jeff, thank you for the call.
My wife works at a high school here in Edmonton, and they've had I believe they're called SROs, or a police representative on site for years. And I believe it was 2 years ago that was removed. I don't know if it was budgetary or considered there was some other reason, primarily due to the school superintendent. But the rate of crime and happenings that have gone at school have increased incrementally. And I know all the staff at the school would yearn to have this police officer back on site. But there's no sight of that happening in the near future. And I agree with your guest that it was the superintendent and the administration that made that decision. But at the ground level, it is desperately needed. The ethnical battlings are getting out of control.
Dude, let me just jump in here for a second and ask you this question. Was there a sense that there was a relationship that was built between the police officer and the students, that they actually got to know each other and there was a level of trust between the officer and the students which made the environment more positive?
Very much so, from what I've heard from my wife for years, was that the police officer, and they've had a couple over the years, became very engaged in the students and the community. And of course, the do-no-gooders don't care, but to a large extent, yes, very much so.
Michael.
Yeah, I totally agree with your with the caller here. It just baffles. It's just baffling that that school boards are choosing to remove these police officers, the school resource officers, from schools. They provide important support. It's a great opportunity for students to build relationships with police officers. You shouldn't. The only time you see a police officer shouldn't be when you're being arrested for a crime. You should be building relationships with police officers early on and seeing them as regular people. And have a police officer within the school providing support and yes, able to deal with bigger issues as they arise. Those are all very good reasons to have police officers in schools, and it's very unfortunate when superintendents are taking them out. And I think it's misguided, and the evidence shows that.
Michael, is this a consensus view? If I were to go to schools across the country, and I were to ask staff, teachers, whoever is involved, the adults in the school, if they were comfortable with the idea, if they supported a police officer being in the school during the school day. Would I get that response from the majority of people, or never mind a majority,
I'm pretty
unanimously?
Sure you would. You may not get that response from a majority of administrators who are farther removed from the realities of in the classroom. But I know many teachers who are fully supportive of having police officers in school. And I will say, not all school boards have taken them out. I mean, Winnipeg has several different school boards. It's a little different that way, and some of the school boards have taken the police officers out. Some have kept them in. So this is a decision that ultimately can be made by trustees. And so if listeners want to make a difference on this, it's ultimately the trustee who makes the final decision on matters of policy such as this. And so if you want police officers back in schools and they've been taken out, lobby your local trustee. They are elected. They are supposed to listen to you.
Okay, I'm going to get another caller on.
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
With the lack of that role in a school, it then falls upon teachers who are ill-equipped and don't have time, are underpaid or whatever. They're not equipped to deal with this kind of thing that the police otherwise would be better off.
Is it more difficult for your wife as a teacher in the teaching environment without the police officer's presence?
I would say it is indeed, because when there's something that happens at the school, you're calling upon the nearest, as a rule, I'm sorry, the nearest male of authority, be it a principal, a vice principal, or a teacher, and no one wants to be put in that position. That's not what they've been hired for. That's not their job.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the call from Edmonton. I do have an email from Blair in Edmonton. Blair writes, for Edmonton, it was the Board of Trustees, not the superintendent, as far as removing the police officer from the school is concerned. In Vancouver, Mark, what's your take on all of this violence in schools?
It's terrible. The reason I'm calling in, though, is I've got to take issue with something the guest said earlier. He made a bit of a derisive comment in terms of, the woke people wanting to take police out of the classroom. And he's not an uneducated man, but it sounds like to me he's really missing the point of what that is. So when we talk about defunding the police, it's not simply only removing police services. It's about changing police services to bring in the...
We're talking about violence in schools, Mark. We're talking about violence in schools. So let's stay on that. Let's stay focused on this, because we only have a minute.
So if we're talking about violence in schools, we have to ask, why is the violence happening? And what do we need to do to prevent the violence from happening? And it's not necessarily having police officers in schools. It's a much bigger question that gets down to having the right...
Okay, let me just bring Michael in on this. Don't go anywhere, Mark, but I want to bring Michael in on this because we only have a minute. Michael, you're being challenged on this.
Yeah, I would just simply argue that what having police officers in schools do, and they're not needed in every school in every context, but they can provide much needed support and in dealing with issues immediately as they arise. It's not the ultimate solution for everything in terms of, obviously there's broader societal issues, but the implication here that we have to fix all of society's problems and eliminate child poverty completely before we can deal with violence in schools, that just simply makes this an impossible goal to achieve. And as far as defunding police, when you defund, you reduce funding. So whatever word games you want to play, if you're cutting funding to them, one of the first things that tends to get cut are things like school resource officer programs. And so obviously, right. I'm not in favor of defunding police or of cutting their funding.
We have, we have literally 20 seconds. Final comment to you, Mark. Real quick.
Okay, so
real quick.
Defunding police doesn't mean we need to reduce services. The other issue is that it's about getting great police in the school.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.